came from outer space to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
Shock Tale with Johnny Thunder.
Just back from his double mastectomy, it's your master of ceremonies, Johnny Thunder.
What's up, genius? How are you? What's up, going on?
What's up, Dyson?
Nothing much. Just hanging out, living the life. Hey, and I'm so glad to be back for Honcast's 50th episode. All right. Woo! Shock tails all around on this sinking ship. I'm back. I'm back to save this bitch,
you
baby.
You dirty rat.
I'm back to save this bitch.
He's back to take over the helm.
Yeah. You're
steer this thing directly into the rocks.
Hey, I'm still delirious from my Bates prom party, dude.
Are you trying to restrain yourself with the young ladies?
Yeah. It was, it's also...
Because,
like,
I mean, I know how they're all over you when you're like, I'm married.
Girls, please. Yeah, so if anybody doesn't know, we, Bates Motel was invited to be part of a local high school's post-prom party. So a bunch of cats from the Bates and from Pennhurst acting crew all went over last Friday night, and some of the guys from the Bates were there for 2 days, man. They set up the gym as a mobile haunt, and I've never seen anything like it, man. What they accomplished in 2 days was amazing. So, like I said, they set all that up. We had foggers, we had the lights going, we had our soundtracks on, and we set up the little individual scenes, and it was a really cool experience. So we had a lot of fun. I'd never seen anything like that. You know, I'd even said, like, did you guys ever do anything like this? And they never had. So it was definitely a first. It was my first. I'll never forget my first. So originally the theme was House of Zombies, right? So I'm told show up, like, and I had my tuxedo, and I went and made a little boutonniere from the dollar store. I got my black and white Doc Martens on, and I'm all ready to be all zombied up, right? So I walk in, and Sean goes, hey. And I'm like, hey. He goes, change of plans. I'm like, okay. He's like, we set up a kitchen scene for you. And I'm like, oh, nice. So got to wear my pig mask. I got a couple meat cleavers, and I was all bloodied up. So it was a lot of fun.
So you were more at home.
Yeah. Yeah, shockingly, I'm always the big, fat cannibal. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Like, how come I never get to be a ghost, or I never get to be
How come I can't wear the tuxedo?
Hey, I want to wear a tutu and dance around like a pretty girl. Like the pretty girl I am.
So, is someone in particular sponsoring Shock Tales this month, or
hey, on my end,
did we dispense with that foolishness?
Yeah. Wait, I think we already did. My end, it's once again Trogues Perpetual IPA, and genius, what are you partaking in?
You are so original, so cutting edge.
I know, dude. I know.
On my end, Shock Tales is sponsored by Purple Kush. A bird in the hand does not beat my purple kush. Respect!
Oh, my God. Yes, unfortunately, kids, the last bar on the left was not condemned. It was not closed down. We are back, and I am Johnny Thunder serving up Shock Tales. First thing I want to get to this month, I want to give a scream out to a book that I just finished and want to recommend. It's called Euro Horror, Classic European Horror Cinema in Contemporary American Culture by Ian Olney. Comes in at $27 and 280 pages. Now, this cat's an associate professor of English and film studies at York College. Basically, the book's about the whole Euro horror craze that started in the 1950s. Now, these are flicks that came over from Italy, Spain, and France, started showing up at drive-ins and urban grindhouses here in the United States. You know, they had a lot more sex and gore and weird kind of themes than most American horror films of the time. And they definitely had their little niche of fans back in the day. So this book explores how some of the most popular genres of Euro horror cinema, such as the giallo films, the S&M horror film, the cannibal flicks, and the zombie films, really appealed to viewers. And he develops a new critical theory that explains why audiences today are also into these films. So if you're into the European subgenre, definitely check out this book. If that's something you want to learn more about, it's also well worth your time. Now, what, you know, when we're talking about European horror, you automatically some of the music comes to mind, okay? And in my mind, one of the seminal bands, if not the seminal band from Euro horror, was Goblin. And there's some badass news coming out of Austin, Texas. Housecore Horror Film Festival, which is going to take place down in Texas October 25th through the 27th, has announced that Goblin is actually going to perform. Okay, this is their first ever North American performance, and they're going to perform their soundtrack, their score, to Argento's Suspiria live during a screening of the film, which I wish I could get down there for this, dude, because that is insane. You know, like I said, they're a band from the 70s. They're one of the seminal rock group bands that were used in tons of horror classics like Buried Alive, Romero's Dawn of the Dead, and Argento's Deep Red and Suspiria. So if you're anywhere near Austin, Texas this Halloween, please go check out the Housecore Horror Film Festival. Or if you don't have any plans, you want to take a trip, I would definitely recommend it. They got a ton of other cool stuff going on. Go check out Housecore Horror Film Festival, all one word, .com.
I went to the thrift shop today, and I found myself I found myself just the grooviest leisure suit. It's freaking sweet.
Oh yeah, for what?
I was wearing it right now. I just thought I'd dress up for the 50th, you know, in the roast.
I see.
I don't know, you couldn't really see me because, you know, the whole audio thing, but
right. Well, I'm completely nude.
Because the girls ripped your G-string off at the zombie prom thing.
Yes.
They were like, they were stuffing it at first, but there were so many $1 bills in that thing, freaking exploded like a pinata.
I was going to say, dude, look, actually, I don't want to look weird. I just have on my pig mask and my Doc Martens. So, all right, look, there's no time for foolishness. Well, of course, this is nothing but foolishness. Now, there's some new and upcoming fright flicks that I want to talk about. Coming June 6th on Video On Demand and theaters July 12th is VHS 2. Now, Chris, do you know what this is a sequel to? Can you guess?
DVR? Something?
Like that? Close.
What?
Yeah, close.
Okay.
Close. Blu-ray 4. Yes. Now, of course, it's the sequel to VHS from last year. Now, this time around, it's the same kind of, you know, bullshit. It's got the same kind of videos, and it's a little anthology. Two private investigators break into a house trying to find a missing student. And again, they find this weird collection of VHS tapes. So they sit down, they start watching a bunch of the movies, and they try to piece them together, figuring out that there may be dark motives behind this cat's disappearance. I think that these are going to be a little more interconnected than the first flick. I was a fan of the first film, even though I've gone on record before complaining about found footage, and I'm not necessarily a fan of, you know, these kind of films. I dig anthologies. And I love the fact that they have a bunch of different directors doing these little vignettes. So I'm definitely going to check that out. Now, that same weekend, a flick that I think looks really interesting, June 7th, is The Purge with Ethan Hawke. Rated R for strong violence and some language. Now, this is kind of a weird premise. They're saying in the near future in the United States, there's like no crime rate, there's no unemployment, and we're basically almost a perfect society. Now, why, you may ask? Chris, you may ask why.
Why?
Why? Because one night a year, my friend, the United States government for 12 hours suspends all laws. They suspend government, law, hospital responses, and everything. And basically, society can do whatever they want. They can go batshit crazy, okay? And the idea is that somehow everyone in society gets out their aggressions or their pent-up problems without any ramifications from the law or the government. And what I think happens here is that Ethan Hawke and his family fortify their home but decide to take in someone who's at risk from these public mobs to be murdered. They take this guy in their house, but then they're surrounded by a bunch of other people who, again, because it's lawless, there's no ramifications for them trying to break in and kill the entire family. So it's kind of a twist on the home invasion film. And again, it's, you know, of course, the family who's locking themselves in their home want to try to be better than all these savages running around, okay, during the purge. But once your family then becomes at, you know, risk to be hurt, you know, what lengths will you go to protect your family? So looks like kind of interesting. The masks are creepy. You got a lot of jumps, you know, a lot of startle scares. So I think that looks, that's definitely one to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I like the premise.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. So June 14th, video on demand and limited theatrical release will see the conclusion of Adam Green's Hatchet trilogy. Yes, Hatchet 3 will be coming our way. Now, of course, these films have followed our heroine, Mary Beth, played by Danielle Harris, as she continues trying to find a way to finally destroy swamp-dwelling monster Victor Crowley, played by Kane Hodder. I'm a huge fan of these movies. Like I said, they're just sort of a mindless throwback to some of the slashers from the 80s. But like I said, you got Harris, you got Hodder. There's always blood and mayhem and axes and nonsense. So it's always a good time. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Now, June 21st, it's Do or Die. We are finally going to see Brad Pitt's World War Z. Now, man, you know, it's based, of course, on Max Brooks' awesome 2006 novel. This thing's rated PG-13 for some violence and zombie sequences and other kind of stuff. I don't know, dude. You know, I don't know. If you remember, this was supposed to be out this past Christmas. Last minute, massive rewrites, massive reshootings. They went, I think they doubled their budget, okay? I just read something that they need to make $400 million just to break even. Okay, that's insane. Now, this thing is either going to be one of the biggest catastrophes in the history of Hollywood, or it's going to be a pleasant surprise and sort of just, you know, it's going to defy all the early buzz. I don't know which way it's going to go. Personally, I haven't been that impressed with the trailers. I think it's too slick. I think it's too big Hollywood. I've always questioned how they could film Brooks' novel as a movie. And just when you hear these, you know, the stories about the rewrites and the problems on the set and everything else, I don't have a lot of confidence. However, I did just see that there were some advanced screenings not too long ago, and it's building some positive word of mouth. So whether that's just studio propaganda or whether it's the truth, we're going to find out at the end of June. All right, all right, all right. Let's get to the highlight of this shit-tastic program, the reviews. Aftershock with Eli Roth.
Prison collapsed. Prisoners are everywhere.
Eli Roth, I think he was part of the film, the screenplay. I think he was also part of something else, and obviously he's in the movie. So a bunch of American tourists hook up with some natives down in Chile, and they're having fun, everybody's partying, everybody's drunk, and of course it's like the first 45 minutes of, you know, all these people just hanging out in bars and clubs and going nuts and having a good time. And then this horrible pesky earthquake erupts, right? And it, you know, just starts killing people, and people fall over, and society falls to rubble, and prisons are falling down, and everybody's running around going crazy and dying. And
dude, that earthquake was such a buzzkill.
Well, it always is, right? Look, I just want to get some poon, and all of a sudden my hand's cut off. Yeah, so it's like there's, you know, prisons are collapsing, people are going crazy, the prisoners are after us, they're all running around. It's, you know, it's mayhem, it's cats and dogs sleeping together, it's craziness, everybody's going mental. And so basically then it turns into this survival horror film where these crazies are after our heroes, and one by one they all get killed, and you get this hot final girl. By the way, she was like the hottest final girl I've seen in a while. What's her name? Isabel something? I can't think of her name. But the last two to survive was completely hot. So I kind of described it. I mean, it's a low budget. I mean, it was like $10 million. But I mean, it's a low budget disaster movie with some horror slasher kind of stuff thrown in the middle towards the end. And then there's the big, you know, twist ending. You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It wasn't the worst thing I've seen, you know, in a while. Anyway, it is what it is. It was entertaining. You know, like I said, I wouldn't go out of my way to find it. If you've got nothing else to do and you like Eli Roth, maybe check it out. But I don't, you know, I've read a lot saying it's completely gory or it's really bloody and violent. And I guess I'm just dead inside. Like my wife keeps telling me. But I just didn't find this like really gory or over the top or like really insanely violent. Did you have any other thoughts, Genius?
Not really.
I didn't think you did.
I watched it about 10 minutes before I picked up the phone with you, actually. I'm like, holy shit, I got to talk about something.
Well, my favorite is yesterday you text me and go, dude, do I have to see any movies? And I go, well, just see Aftershock. You go, okay, cool. And then around 5:30 tonight, you go, are we taping tonight? And I go, yeah, in about an hour. You're like, oh, okay, let me watch Aftershock.
Dude, I'm trying to carry my weight.
Yeah, carry my weight. Then I'll be proud of you.
That's impossible.
I was just going to say. Well, keep reaching for the stars, Sparkles. All right, next up, American Mary.
I quit med school today. That shouldn't come as a surprise to you. I'm changing specialties, Dr. Grant. Have you ever heard of body modification?
Now, this was written and directed by Twisted Twins, Jen and Sylvia Soska. Those are the creative team chicks behind Dead Hooker in a Trunk. And it's starring Catherine Isabel, who you probably may know from the Ginger Snaps movies, if any of you out there are actually into horror. Anyway, rated R for all kinds of crazy warnings, disturbing images, torture, rape, language, drug use, sexual content, nudity. So the whole movie is about this medical student named Mary. And the first half of the movie is kind of like a character study. She's this really desperate medical student who needs to pay the bills. She kind of falls into this weird underground alt body modification world, okay? And she becomes basically an underground black market illegal surgeon. She's doing body modification, all kinds of weird shit to people. And more people find, you know, try to find her. They seek her out. They're giving her, they're paying her in cash, and she becomes sort of this underground celebrity. Well, about halfway then through the movie, one of her professors, again, drugs her and rapes her, okay? So then maybe the last half of the movie it takes on this little, maybe like a little rape revenge film kind of a thing, because then she kidnaps that professor, tortures him, has him on hooks, does all this like weird body modifications, like she's cutting off his arms, cutting off his legs. So she has this cat like in a closet somewhere. Meanwhile, she starts a website and she's all popular. It's almost like you and Honcast. Like, all of a sudden, you're like this lord of these minions, and she's all very cool, and people are coming to her, and she's charging money, and she's living the high life up there in Cape Cod. And so it's this weird.
Okay.
somebody stoned. So then, like, you know, like she's after, you know, like the police are after her because somebody dies. It's all this like craziness. It's a real dark, twisted movie. Like I said, there are some scenes of her doing this like bizarre surgery on people, and it's definitely an interesting movie. Again, did I like it? I don't know if I didn't hate it. It kind of sucked me in the beginning, like I said, where it's more of a character study of this girl falling into this really bizarre world. The last half I liked a little bit less, but I still think it's an interesting film. So if you want something a little off the beaten path, a little bit different, a little bit weird, try to find out where you can get American Mary. And finally, Chris, I want a family film, okay, if you will, perfect for date night or maybe when grandma comes over to watch the kids, called Hate Crime.
Today's a special day, isn't it?
Dad, come on.
Come on, quit it, Dad. You're being really lame.
I film your birthdays every year. You guys know that. Say hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Happy birthday.
What the hell was that? Did you guys hear that?
We got all night with this family here.
But this is a really hard question, okay? The problem is that I don't think you're fucking being honest with me.
Now answer the question if you want to live. Answer it!
Won't you look over there at your husband and tell him everything's gonna be okay.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Loud and bitch.
Everything's gonna be okay!
Was written and directed by James Colin Brissac. And this flick is a found footage film, okay? And it's about a Jewish family who just move into a new neighborhood. They're recording their youngest son's birthday party on video when their home is suddenly invaded by a bunch of crystal meth-crazed neo-Nazi lunatics. Yes. So then the neo-Nazis proceed to rape, kill, and torture the family on video. I saw this actually on this cat's website. It wasn't available on demand or anything. And I don't think it's available on DVD yet. No one's picked this up. It's played a bunch of film festivals. And I think it's not rated. So I think if it is rated, it's going to be NC-17. It's about 72 minutes, 73 minutes, and you literally have maybe a minute into the film, and it launches into the next 72 minutes of just nothing but violence and rape and murder and bloodshed, and it's a real jarring, violent, visceral, over-the-top exploitation film. Again, found footage. At least, again, the idea is that these lunatics are filming everything with the family's camera. Again, it's not the typical home invasion or the rape revenge film where you have one person, you know, typically the final girl alive who gets revenge and kills everybody. It's a little bit different, but I would say that this is probably going to appeal to a very limited segment of our audience. You know, I don't know whether a lot of people are going to be into sort of an exploitation film like this. If you're into sort of things that are a little out there, check this out. But I don't think that it's going to be something that a lot of our, you know, listeners are really, really going to dig. Like I said, again, is this a film that I liked? I had a hard time. I was talking to one of my friends, and I said, it's kind of weird to tell people about this movie and go, I liked it. Because then you automatically, it's like, you know, people start dialing the police. Because you sound like a complete fucking freak. But it's actually surprisingly well acted, which I dug. And even some of the way that the framing of the shots were done in the world of the found footage were actually well directed, believe it or not. You know, because again, usually found footage is just that shaky bullshit. But it's definitely an experience. You know, I think the most interesting thing about it may be that afterwards, as a viewer, you sit there and ponder, was this a film that's necessary? Is this the type of film that should be made? You know, should it not be made? Should we shy away from violence like this? So you can definitely get into a deep conversation after this, and it sounds funny from my description because it sounds like such a piece of shit movie. But I found it interesting in the sense that it does bring up a lot of different issues about society and film and the way we view ourselves and the way we view film. So, wow. I'm exhausted. Wow,
that was deep.
Wow, was that? Wait, I need another beer. Hold on.
Get out that church key.
Oh, man. That was, woo, I'm beat.
You know, it's always great to have you back as my bottom bitch.
All right, everybody. That's it for this time. All right, next time I'll be back with the all review segment. It's going to be reviews of VHS 2, The Purge, Hatchet 3, and World War Z.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.